The founder and owner, John Timmons, posted the news to the EarXtasy Facebook page last night. The store is closing. You've probably heard by now. EarXtasy was founded in 1985 and came close to shutting down twice recently. Last year, Timmons moved the business to a smaller storefront in the Douglas Loop, several blocks south of the previous location on Bardstown Road. Last Saturday, EarXtasy did not open, and that fueled rampant speculation, including some on this show yesterday, in the city's music community. That community has also shown an outpouring of support for the store and for Timmons in the wake of the announcement. Timmons and his staff had been candid about the store's uncertain future, but the closure is a shock to people. WFPL's Gabe Bullard talked with Rebecca Mercer, who is the store manager at EarXtasy, about what finally did the shop in.
It's a combination of a lot of things. You know, we have talked about how the business has just not been the same over the last few years. Really and truly, probably the last 4 years, it's just continued to go down. You know, we can no longer compete with online sales, with the big box stores, things like that. And we just really, the bottom line, we just weren't doing enough business to keep the doors open and to keep people paid and to keep stock fresh. And that was becoming harder and harder to do. And at this point, it just wasn't making sense to keep the doors open, unfortunately.
Were there any other business models that were explored?
Yeah, there were a million. You know, we've gotten a lot of, you should have tried this or you should have done that. And we have tried many different business models over the last few years. I mean, overall, it looks the same, you know, from the viewpoint of the customers and whatnot. But there's a lot of different things that we tried. And, you know, we have competed or tried to compete with the online digital sales. We've had more concerts at our store, after-hours venues with food and drink. We've done a lot of different things that we could within our means, you know, within our budget, which is very hard to deal with in the last few years. But, you know, I really do feel like we did everything we could to keep the doors open, and unfortunately it just wasn't enough.
What were a few other things that you tried?
You know, we just reinvented our website within the last year. We did, as a coalition of independent music stores, came out with a digital online site called Think Indie a few years back, and that was, you know, in order to compete with iTunes and some of the other digital sites. It did, you know, okay in the beginning, but it was never a direct competition with iTunes. You know, then since then we've done our own, and that's been okay, but with the digital world, there's just not enough money in it to really, you know, kind of get us back on our feet, and it just seemed like we kept adding fuel to the fire with more and more, you know, orders and invoices and things like that. You know, we did move a little over a year ago, cut our rent more than in half, and since then we've had different sales. We've brought in more used product. We've brought in used vinyl, things like that have a higher markup, which we weren't doing, you know, a few years back. And that really has kind of been our saving grace up until now. We had a new stage at the store, and we were doing more shows, more after-hour shows, kind of taking the place of Skull Alley when they closed as an after-hours, all-ages venue. So we did a few of those types of things, which is what people had asked that we do when we were looking for help and suggestions, you know, a year or so ago. And those were okay, but they just weren't, you know, unfortunately, they weren't money bringers.
There's been some criticism of how this was announced, the sudden closure on Saturday, no announcement until Monday evening. Was the situation so urgent that the store couldn't have been open that weekend, or why not put a sign out, something like that?
I really can't say at the moment. A lot of it was our legal team and just things that happened over the weekend. I really don't have an answer because we were just told on Friday night as well. I wish there could have been more communication, but they were working on what could and couldn't be said and trying to figure out what to do with stock, and a lot of it was just out of our hands.
What will happen to the employees? Are any of them waiting to be paid?
No, every employee got paid for every hour they worked, which was a very good thing, obviously. And, you know, they were all told as soon as we found out. And it wasn't a big shock to anybody based on how bad business had become in the last year or so. But, you know, we're all kind of mourning our own way. You know, it wasn't just about a job. Of course, that's the bottom line. But it really was our favorite store. Nobody really worked there because it made us a millionaire. It was because we liked the environment and we liked the store.
Was it to the point where a fundraiser, something like that, just couldn't happen, that community support? It seems like every time that John has come out to make an announcement, he did the one 18 months ago and then again about a year ago, that there has been this large outpouring of support. But did that ever translate to sales? Was there thought that maybe another plea for support would have been a viable way to help bring in some money?
It was never a thought this time around because there's only so many times that you can ask for help. There was a great outpouring both times. The first time especially, it really did turn around into a lot of money and a lot of sales, but that quickly dwindled off. I think more than anything, it just came down to, you know, it's this economy, and when you can't compete with free, and that's a lot of what we were dealing with, you know, when people have to pay their you know, mortgage payments and their rent payments and their LG&E and pay to feed themselves, music is not a necessity for most people. And we could have done that again, but I think it was to the point where it was just too, we were too far gone, unfortunately. And no matter what we did, it really just wasn't going to help at this point. I mean, you know, it would have been a little bit here and there, but they felt as if it wouldn't have made a big enough difference to keep the doors open. You know, there are a lot of issues with an actual business and fundraisers about what you can and can't do. So that's always been hard because we knew there were going to be a lot of people that were offering to help. And of course, that means the world to us. There's a lot of things we wish we could do as well. But at this point, yeah, it was a little bit too late.
I want to talk a little bit about what this might mean, what larger ramifications this would have in the music community. Ear Ecstasy, if I'm not mistaken, when someone purchased an album there, it would count, was it 3 times on SoundScan?
It changed year from year. I think it went anywhere from 3 to 6, depending on who else was in the community, because, yes, it was a weighted sound scan. So it will definitely, you know, and on those terms, it will hurt a little bit for artists that are selling music in Louisville. But what I would imagine is that there are other record stores that they report to SoundScan, even some of the smaller places around town, then it will also be weighted and take account the fact that we're not there anymore.
Do you think that changing will make it harder for promoters or people who are booking concerts to be able to bring in acts if there is, in fact, a dip in the sales, at least as far as the numbers go?
I think it will have an effect. I'm not sure how great that effect will be. Unfortunately, it seems like everything that's happened in the music industry in the last few years, you know, has a great effect on local concert promoters, selling your music, anything and everything in between. It's going to be a little bit harder, but they know what they're doing, and hopefully we can, you know, maybe there'll still be something we can do in order to help those people, and that's the biggest issue for us. You know, we love the Louisville music community. We love what it's done for us and what we've, you know, been able to be a part of. So hopefully they'll be okay, and we can figure out something to do to help in the meantime.
Are there any other ramifications you see that this could have in the music community? Clearly there's going to be one less place where artists can sell tickets, where people can bring their albums, where people can buy the albums. Is there anything else that you see how this could possibly shake out larger?
You know, I think you hit the nail on the head with most of them. I mean, the issue is how many tickets we sold, you know, the ability to sell local music and do consignment, which a lot of stores don't do. Hopefully somebody can pick up on that and take over where we left off. Right now, I think it's, you know, kind of to be determined. I think there's a lot of things that will affect, you know, we've been a huge supporter with Forecastle over the last few years and different concert venues and things like that. So hopefully they can figure out a way to work around it. I'm sure they can, but it's just been it's a partnership that we're losing, and that's going to be the hard thing to replace.
That is Rebecca Mercer, who is the store manager, was the store manager at Ear Ecstasy, talking about the announcement to close and, well, certainly a lot of the impacts of how this thing has unfolded over the past year. Gabe, how else is the news team going to be looking at this?
Well, we're hoping to get in touch with John Timmons himself to ask about what he may be doing next. You heard a little bit in this interview with Rebecca. She had said, we may be doing this, we could do this. So it's not totally clear yet until all the details of this closure are sorted out, what will happen to the Ear Ecstasy name, whether or not John may have something else planned for working in the local music scene.
What we have an FPK interview tomorrow, right, that Kyle
yes.
is going to do.
Kyle will talk with Randy Bolton, who was another high-level Ear Ecstasy employee close to John Timmons, about how this whole situation had worked out as well.
Do we know where John Timmons is?
No, we haven't heard that yet. When I talked with Rebecca, she was the only contact I had at Ear Ecstasy, talking with her over the last 18 months as things had happened in the store. She had always been able to get me in touch with John, or she would answer questions that we had herself, since she would know, being the store manager. And she said he was unavailable. There wasn't anything beyond that. No answers about what he may be up to right now.
Okay. So, we don't even know if he's all right. We assume he is, but I'm sure this is a tough time for him. So,
yeah, his message, we have the whole thing posted as well. It was on Facebook. You can also find it on our story on WFPL.org. It was an emotional message. And so he called it, he compared it to his child. It's clearly an emotional time for him.
Yeah. All right, Gabe. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Here and now on WFPL.